In the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, our theme for 2021, you see it right behind me on the banner, is having done all to stand. And we are preaching through different messages in Ephesians chapter 6, where our text comes from. And 2 weeks ago, the first Sunday morning of 2021, we preached a message entitled, "And Having Done All to Stand," and talking about how it is that we are to stand as Christians. Last week, we preached a message out of verse 13 entitled, "Standing in the Evil Day." And we preached as far as what that meant and the fact that how that there are going to be a spiritual evil day come to us all. And God expects for us to stand in that. Well, we're going to get into this morning. I told you we were going to get there eventually, and we are. And we're going to talk about what most people, when they think of Ephesians chapter 6, they think of what's known as, and it's a great theme for that chapter, known as the armor of God. And we're going to actually take each week and teach on a different piece of that armor. And so this morning, that's where we're going to be at, and we're going to talk about the first piece of armor. So if you found your place, stand with me together as we read the scripture this morning, as our tradition is here to stand for the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading in verse 10. I'll read down through verse 14. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." In verse 14, the first piece we're going to look at is the first thing that's talked about in this verse. It says this: "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the your church. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. Thank you, Lord, for the gathering of your people. What a blessing it is, Lord, to be in the midst of people who have a desire and a hunger to know you and want to know you, Lord. And we're thankful for that. And I pray that you bless us this morning. Bless the message, God, as we preach about this. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd be active in our midst. I pray that you would bring conviction where it's needed. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that you would draw them to yourself. And Lord, they would have a want and a desire to know you, Lord, I pray. Bless us, we pray now, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Standing, as we've seen in this passage I read, is directly connected with putting on the armor of God. Amen? It's putting on that armor. In fact, we see in verse 11, notice what he says here, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 13, "Wherefore taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And again, let me just emphasize to you how important it is that God expects us as Christians to stand. Amen? Yep. To stand. Not to fold like a lawn chair when the going gets tough. Amen? But to stand. And we need to have that mindset as Christians. But what I want you to notice about standing, it's directly connected with something. And as I taught you last week, you never stand on accident. If you're going to stand, you must stand on purpose. You must determine that you're going to do the proper things in order to stand. And what I want you to notice here, we see twice the Bible says to put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor. Now, by the way, as we teach through this, you're going to notice that every single piece of armor is important. Every single piece, all right? And you know what? You can have one area protected, but if you don't protect everything, you're vulnerable, okay? And so it's important that you put on the whole armor. And so as we begin to teach through this the next several weeks, we're going to take this piece by piece and talk about this, and I'm going to make it very, very practical for you. Amen? Listen to me, folks. The Bible ought to be practical. Okay? It's not meant to be taken in some metaphorical type sense. No, it's practical. God wants you to take Bible principles and apply them to your personal life. Amen? And that's what I want to teach you, and that's what I want to help you about. So what is this first piece of armor the Bible talks about? All right? Notice what he says again in verse 14, "having your loins girt about with truth." Now, what's he referring to here? Well, if you look up that word loins, it's defined as externally as the hip, internally as the procreative power. And what God is referring to here is the moral being of a Christian. The moral being of a Christian. Now listen, folks, it's not an accident that this is the first area on the list that God says needs to be protected. God never does anything by accident. Amen? God is a God of order. He's a God of design. Everything He lists, He does it for a reason, for a purpose. Okay? Now, you know what? If I was listing this, armor out, I may not have started here. But listen, I'm not the author. The Holy Spirit of God's the author. God knows better than I know, so we're going to do it God's way. Amen? Amen. And we're going to look at it in God's order. So what God is saying here is that we need to put on the whole armor of God, particularly with our loins girt about with truth. Our loins girt about with truth. All right. Now, God knew the enemy that he would try and cause us to fall first and foremost in this area. Amen. And that is the area of morality. The area of morality. Folks, listen to me. The reason Satan works overtime to try to get us to mess up in this area is because he knows the consequences of it. Amen? He knows the consequences of it. Let me read a verse to you in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. By the way, let me just say this, all right? I think most of you know this, but you are not in a politically correct church this morning. Amen? You've got a preacher who actually has a backbone that's not afraid to preach the whole counsel of God. Amen? And let me tell you, there's some tough areas in the Bible that God wants us to teach and preach on. And guess what? Buckle up this morning. It may get a little rough. Amen? But I don't care whether you pout or shout, I'm going to preach it. And so you might as well shout, you might as well sit there with a smile on your face, because we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about it. I don't care what man says, I don't care what the world says, what does God say? Amen? Thus saith the Lord. Listen to this verse, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. The Bible says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let me tell you why the devil works so hard in this area of morality. Because Satan knows the Word of God. And Satan knows that God has to keep His Word. So in turn, if he can get Christians to fall in this area, that he can sit back with a twisted sick smile on his face and watch God bring judgment into the lives of his own children. And let me tell you, Satan loves nothing more than to do what he can to try to cause God pain and misery. And by the way, what better way than to, because God keeps His Word, than to get God to have to, because He is bound by His Word, to have to bring judgment in the lives of His children. Let me tell you folks, Satan doesn't play fair. Satan is a very diabolical, wicked enemy, alright? He knows what he's doing, and he'll do anything he can to try to get back at God. You know why? Because he knows he's not gonna win, that's why. He knows his time is short, that's why. And so he'll do anything he can to try to cause God pain. And you know what? I'll just say this. You want to cause pain in my life? Mess with my family. Mess with my kids. Okay? There's just something as a parent that when something with your kids goes wrong, there's a heartbreak that comes with that. And as a parent, you understand what I'm talking about. But all through the Scripture, there's Bible examples of God's judgment upon His people who fell in this area, who got messed up in their morality. We read in Genesis about Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and he was judged because of his immorality. We read about a man named Zimri, who is a leader in the nation of Israel, that was judged because of his immorality. We read about a man named Shechem that committed sin with Jacob's daughter Dinah and was judged because of his immorality. Of course, we know about famous Bible characters like Samson and David and David's son Amnon. And the list could go on and on and on. And folks, let me just say this. It's so important that we follow God's plan and we girt our loins about with truth. Now you got to remember, when Paul wrote this to the Ephesians, okay, sometimes when you see the armor of God, sometimes people may illustrate it in what's known as medieval armor. But listen, folks, Paul didn't live in medieval times. He lived in Roman times. And when he was referring to the armor, he was referring to a Roman soldier, very much like what's on our picture up there. And so what is this particular thing he was talking about, loins girt about with truth? Well, I really wanted to do it, but I couldn't justify spending the money for it. But I almost really wanted to actually purchase a Roman armor replica. And I could have done it, but it was going to be quite expensive. And of course, we're trying to save money for our building and other things, so I didn't want to spend the church's money on that. So instead, you're going to get something not quite as good, but act like it's really cool. You're going to get a picture, okay? All right? At least it's in color, all right? At least it's in color. At least I just didn't sketch it out with a Sharpie, okay? So this is what Paul was talking about. Your loins girt about with truth. This is called a Roman balteus, okay? A Roman balteus. In the Roman ranks, a single belt was used to support the dagger, okay, from which the sword hung. This single belt was embellished with narrow or wide belt plates. These belt plates were made of cast brass with a shiny tin or silver finish stamped into them. One style of the belt was always rolled and on occasion had ball-headed pins attached to it. And this is what the Roman soldier would wear around his waist as a belt to obviously provide support for his sword, for a sheath. But obviously, from the way the armor was, it's very obvious to tell the point in protection. Okay? It's pretty obvious to tell what it was that was trying to be protected. And so what Paul was referring to when he was talking about our loins girt about with truth, he was talking about God's standard of morality. Now, it's very important for us to define it as God's standard. Amen? Because man has messed this up. Okay? It's not man's standard. Okay? It's not a country's standard. All right? It's God's standard. What is God's standard? Well, it's in that verse I already read to you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. I understand we have children here, and I'm very careful how I talk about this, and I won't be inappropriate this morning, but there is truth that we all need to hear. Amen? Marriage is honorable in all. Let me tell you, folks, you don't have to wonder about it. You don't have to think about it. God's standard of morality is so narrow, it's so specific, that you know what? Mankind isn't left to wonder what it is. Let me tell you what it is. It's called marriage. Marriage. That is God's standard of morality. By the way, sad to say, in our day and age, we got to define what marriage is. Let me tell you what marriage is. By the way, it's not what the Supreme Court says it is, it's what God says it is. Marriage is between one man, one woman, for life, till death do them part. That is marriage. By the way, that's a very narrow definition of marriage. And by the way, that is God's biblical definition of marriage. Amen? One woman, one man, for life, till death do us part. Okay? And let me tell you what God's plan for morality is. It's within marriage. Amen? Within marriage. Now let's define what that is. Okay? So that means this. That means morality is abstinence outside of the marriage relationship. That means before you're married or even after your marriage. Okay? It means this. When you are married, it's faithfulness to your spouse when you're within that marriage relationship. That's morality. And by the way, let me even go even further and define faithfulness. Faithfulness means this, is that you're faithful with your mind, you're faithful with your eyes, and then you're faithful with your body. That's God's standard. Now, why in the world do we try to complicate this? Why in the world are we trying to get out of the bounds of this? Now listen, folks, the world's going to do what the world does. We're not talking about the world putting on any kind of armor. We're talking about as a Christian warrior, putting on the armor of God. Amen? And God's very specific in what it is He's talking about here. Amen? And by the way, let me say this. All throughout the Scripture, God has stringent warnings about this sin. Stringent warnings about it. He warns us over and over and over again all throughout the Word of God about the dangers of committing the sin of immorality. Listen to the verses here. Let me give you a couple of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20. Flee fornication. Amen? By the way, that within that verse is a two-word sentence. Flee fornication. God is saying, listen to me, when it comes to this, you flee. You flee. Amen? Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Okay? By the way, I'm not going to get deep into that verse today, but there's consequences for committing these sins. Amen? By the way, higher consequences than committing other sins, according to the Word of God. And then he asked this question, verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now those verses could apply to any sin that you would commit against your body. But particularly here, the context is the sin of immorality. And he says, listen to me, what's your mindset on this? Why in the world would you commit this sin when you better understand something, Christian? Your body belongs to God. So as a Christian, this philosophy that's out there, that the world tries to float, by the way, only likes to float it when it's convenient for them. My body, my choice, right? How come that's okay for the killing of an innocent baby, but it's not okay when I decide I'm not going to wear a mask in public? How come it's okay with that? Okay? And again, I'm not against people that wear masks. That's okay if they choose to. But you know what? If I don't choose to, guess what? My body, my choice. All right? And so how come that's not okay with that? All right? Now listen, folks. What God is saying here is this. Listen to me, Christian. Your body's not your own. All right? Miss Jill, could you help me, please, with that? Okay? Making sure we're good with that, please. Thank you. As a Christian, listen to me. Your body's not your own, amen? It belongs to God. And so as a Christian, you better understand something. God warns about committing this sin, amen? He said, man, preacher, we're coming for a baptismal service. We didn't know you were going to preach on this today, amen? Hey, it's all good. We need to hear it, do we not? So we need to put this piece of armor on. Listen, folks, we're living in a world where this is completely off the charts for what God intended. Completely off the charts. Sad to say, immorality is not just rampant in the world, it's also rampant in the church house. Sad, sad, sad. And listen, we better understand, folks, as a Christian, the devil is going to come after you in this area, and you've got to be protected. You've got to be protected. So I'm going to give you some practical truth this morning. How to gird your loins with truth. How do you do it? What's it mean? All right, I'm going to give you three simple things. Number one is this, to know the Son of God. Amen? To know the Son of God. You know, truth is very interesting. You trace that through the Scripture, and you're going to find that truth is always connected with God Almighty. Always connected with God Almighty. Listen to the verse here. John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, listen to this, I am the way, amen, the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Notice Jesus didn't say he was a truth. Is that what he said? No. He says he is the truth, as in singular, as in the only one. Amen? And obviously it goes without saying, but since this passage is written to the brethren in Ephesians chapter 6, that salvation is a given. Amen? If you're going to be a warrior for God, obviously you must be saved. You cannot fight in a spiritual battle and win spiritual wars if you're not first spiritual. Okay, let me say that again. I want you to understand what I just said. You cannot fight in a spiritual battle and win a spiritual war if you're first not spiritual. Meaning that your spirit's been born again. Amen? That you've been saved. That you're a child of God. It's no use trying to fight if you're on the wrong side in the first place. Okay? You must be, as a Christian, you must be born again. So yes, it's referring to being saved. Amen? Again, that ought to go without saying. But listen to me, folks. It's not just being saved. Don't miss this. It's knowing the one who saved you. It's knowing the one who saved you. Everything about Jesus Christ is truth. Everything about Him is truth. And the more time you spend getting to know Him, the more of Him will rub off on you. Right? Amen? Listen. If you're around somebody, okay, you can tell. Okay, for example, sometimes maybe there's a wrong influence and your child wants to be around them. Listen, as a parent, you can figure it out real quick because all of a sudden their attitude changes, right? Maybe their vocabulary changes. Maybe something about them's changing. And you know what the problem is? It's that they've been hanging around the wrong kind of person. And by the way, that's true on the positive end of things as well, right? If you're around the right people, the right things will rub off on you. And I'll just tell you this, folks. When you spend time around Jesus Christ, He's going to change you. Amen? Amen? You rub elbows with the Savior, man. There's some things that are going to be different in your life. I can guarantee you that. John chapter 1, verse 17. Listen to this verse. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Let me ask us all a fair question this morning, a telling question. And I pray the Holy Spirit of God will speak to you about this. Is Jesus real in your life? Is He real? Do you have a real, life-changing, communicating with Him on a daily basis relationship with the Lord? Amen? Is it real? Now, I'm not talking about are you saved. Amen? I pray that you're saved. And by the way, if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, now would be the day to get it taken care of. Amen? God brought you here today for a reason, for a purpose. Please don't leave here without knowing for sure you're saved. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. We could walk out of these doors and it literally could be the last time we're ever in the church house again. Amen? So let me encourage you. If you don't know 100% for sure you're saved, get saved today. And we'll give you that opportunity here in just a few moments. Amen? But Christian, those of us that are saved, is your relationship with Christ real? Is this something that's real in your life? Is He real to you? Do you walk with Him and talk with Him on a daily basis? Let me tell you what you're going to find out in the Christian life. The closer you get to Christ, the more we realize how bad sin truly is. The closer I get to Him, the worse I view myself. Amen? And I realize how bad sin is, how wicked it is. I realize, folks, listen to me, it was my sin, my wickedness that nails Him to that cross. And let me tell you what that makes me want to do. It makes me want to live a life that pleases Him instead of giving in to the temptations of the devil. When I realize the high price of sin that Jesus Christ bore on that cross. Amen? I know it sounds just like a preacher thing to say, but the answer to protecting yourself from moral failures or any other failures for that matter is to know the Son of God. Amen? Is to know the Son of God. And yes, salvation, but more than that, on a deeper level, as a Christian, getting to know Him more every single day. A close relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Number two, let me tell you what else to do to put on that to gird your loins about with truth is this. Number one is to know the Son of God. Number two is this, heed to the Word of God. Heed to the Word of God. Now what you're going to find out as we teach through this armor, all this stuff is interrelated. Okay? It's all connected. It's kind of like your vehicle, right? And the intricate wiring system and everything. And listen, whether you realize it or not, all that stuff's interconnected. One thing goes wrong, it's going to throw something else off. And folks, that is true when it comes to this teaching here. All this is interconnected. That's why the Bible says to put on the whole armor of God. Amen? Heed to the Word of God. Listen to what Jesus said in John 17:17. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Thy Word is truth. Now listen, folks, we're living in a day and age where you don't know what to believe. I tell you right now, I for sure don't believe things I'm hearing from the news. I can tell you that. I mean, this week I heard things that were flat out lies that were trying to be passed off as truth. And by the way, I'm not just saying that on the negative side, sometimes even on the positive side of things. I don't know what to believe. I've heard some crazy things this week, to be honest with you. And you know what? I can't tell you whether they're true or not. I don't know. But I do know what is true. You know what's true? What will always be true? You got it right here. Your King James Holy Bible. Amen? This is a source of truth right here. Okay? And you know what the Bible says about that? He says through that truth, you can be sanctified. You know what the word sanctified means? It means to be made pure. It means to make holy. Let me tell you something, church. A constant companionship, a constant interaction, a constant relationship with your Bible will keep you from moral failures. Let me say that again. We need to hear that. Amen? A constant companionship, a constant interaction, a constant relationship with your Bible will keep you from moral failures. Let me tell you what the Bible is, folks. It's a cleaning agent that will scrub the junk of this world from your heart and mind. It'll scrub that stuff from you. John 15, verse 3. Listen to this. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Isn't that interesting? That here in these verses, the husband-wife relationship here is brought into focus, and also what's brought into focus is by staying clean through the washing of the water of the Word of God. How about this verse, Psalms 119, verse 9? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now, let me give you an illustration here. I don't know if I've ever done this illustration or not. Maybe I have, so if you've seen it, act like you've never seen it before. Amen? All right? I only have so many illustrations, okay? I try to get original. I try to keep it good for you, all right? So, let's picture that this right here is going to picture our life as a Christian. Okay, this container, a vessel. By the way, the Bible teaches us that we are a vessel. Amen? And we're a vessel of the Lord. So let's say this container with this pure water pictures our life, how God wants for us to be as a Christian. By the way, we're not talking about perfection. Okay? We're just talking about being clean, being right with the Lord. All right? By the way, you'll never be perfect until you shed this fleshly body. Okay? I'm not preaching sinless perfection because there's not one person. The Bible says if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. So I'm not talking about perfection, okay? But I am talking about a healthy relationship with the Lord and keeping things right with God, amen? So here's your life. Here's the goal. Here's what God wants for us to be, okay? But here's the problem, okay? The problem is, okay, we got to live in this life, okay? We got to live on the earth. And as you live life, as you walk the earth, as you interact, you know what happens to you as a Christian a lot of times? You get a little dirty, okay? You know, maybe it's at work, and man, everybody around you, they're lost, they're heathens. You hear it all day long, and it wears on you a little bit, and a little of that dirt may rub off on you. I'm not saying you participate in it, I'm just saying maybe there's a little dirt. And maybe sometimes, you know what, as a Christian, you have a bad day. You give in to a temptation of the devil. You say something you shouldn't. You look at something you shouldn't. You do something you shouldn't. You sin against the Father. By the way, when you sin against the Father, the answer is not getting saved again. Once you get it, you got it. Amen? Okay, but what happens is your life starts getting dirty. And before you know it, you know what? You could literally, in God's eyes, you can be a pretty dirty Christian. Okay? There's sin in your life. There's things in you that shouldn't be there. And you know, listen, folks, let's stop acting like we're all high and mighty. There ain't one of us who's never been here before. And truth be told, most of us are somewhere in this proximity right here. So let's quit acting like we're not. Okay? By the way, I'm not just saying you. I'm saying the pew. I'm saying the pulpit. Amen? I spent time with the Lord this morning getting this junk out. Okay? So we're all there. Okay? So what do you do? This is your life as a Christian. Okay? Sometimes you get dirty. Sometimes, you know what? Things aren't what they ought to be with the Lord. What do you do? I'll tell you exactly what you do. The Bible tells us what to do. Amen? Remember what He said? He said the washing of the water by the what? The Word. Okay? Pretty appropriate this morning. Okay? Baptismal water. All right? This holy water! Amen? This is going to represent the Word. It's clean. It's pure. It's right. Let me tell you, it's this simple. When this is dirty and this is clean, how do I get clean? You ready? Watch this, okay? Look at this. You start filling yourself with the Word. You start filling yourself with the Word. You start filling yourself with the Word. You keep filling yourself with the Word. And guess what's happening? As you're filling yourself with the Word, look what's happening to that water right there. Look what's going on right there. You're filling yourself. You're filling yourself. The Word. The Word. You keep putting in the Word. You keep putting in the Word. You keep putting in the Word. Look at that. It's not quite as dirty as it was, is it? You keep putting it in. You keep putting the clean Word in. Oh my goodness, look at that. What's going out here? Amen? Look at this. The more the Word goes in, the more the Word goes in, the more it goes in, the more it goes in. Now, I could keep going and get this thing crystal clear, but I got to have water to baptize people with. Amen? Okay? I'll ruin my carpet up here. But you get the picture, right? If I were to keep pouring the Word in, eventually, you know what this would be? Crystal clear, just like it was. And you know what cleaned it up, folks? Not self-reformation. Not turning over a new leaf. You know what cleans it up? The Word. The Word. The Word. The Word. Let me tell you something. Why do you think the devil fights so stinking hard at keeping us out of that book every day? Because he knows if you have a close relationship with that Word, it will clean you. It will clean you. It's not a matter. What's the secret to the Christian life? There's no secret. It's just obedience. It's a life of obedience. God, I'm going to obey you. God, I'm going to start my day with you today. Lord, I'm going to put your Word inside of me today. God, I'm going to speak to you today. And let me tell you something, folks. We complicate it. We think it's this big, you know, miracle that's got to happen. This, you know, spiritual pixie dust that's got to come over us. It's nothing like that. It's simple of obedience, and it's so simple that the more you put the word in, the more junk's going to come out. Amen? Listen, purify through the word. Let me make this statement. A morally pure mind will produce a morally pure body. A morally pure mind. The devil is after our minds. That's why, as a Christian, everywhere you go, you got to be on guard. I wish it weren't the case. I mean, it's so pathetic, folks. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Things that bombard your mind in the wrong way is everywhere you go as a Christian. You got to be on guard. Listen, folks, how do things get in your mind? You know how they get in your mind? Through what you see and what you hear, right? So you know what that means I've got to do as a Christian? I've got to guard what I see and I've got to guard what I hear. Amen? So that stuff doesn't come in and corrupt my mind. Here's what my pastor taught me. And I've taught you this before. Man, it's such a great saying. A simple saying, but a profound truth. Here it is. You ready? You can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from building a nest in your hair. So what that means is this. You know what? I'm living in the world. I'm doing what I got to do. Amen? I'm out trying to reach people. I'm out working my job. I'm out interacting with the world. And you know what's going to happen? Those ravens of hell are going to fly over. Those things that are going to try to attack my mind. I can't keep that bird from flying over my head, but I sure can't keep him from coming on down and trying to put things in this mind right here. I do have control over that, by the way. Amen? And so listen to me, folks. It really is that simple. It's called the power of the Word of God. And listen, I'm not even getting to the part of the armor, and we're going to talk about this, where the Word of God is our defensive weapon. And we'll get to that. And I'll show you what that means, all right? But today we're talking about the cleansing power. And you want to be protected morally in your life, all right? It's as simple as knowing the Son of God. It's as simple as heeding to the Word of God. Let me give you the last one here this morning. It's this. It is yielding to the Spirit of God. Yielding to the Spirit of God. Listen to these verses here. John chapter 14. Here's what Jesus said. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you. Even the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. Whom the world cannot receive. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Isn't that interesting what the Bible says? The world can't receive it. Why can't the world receive the Holy Spirit of God? The Bible says, because it seeth him not. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, unless I see it, I can't believe it. People tell me that all the time. I can't believe in a God I can't see. Well, you know what? Actually, you believe in stuff you don't see all the time. It's not a matter that you don't have faith. It's a matter of what you have faith in. Okay? And listen, folks, as Christians, why do we know we have the Spirit of God? I'm going to be honest with you. I've never seen God. I've never seen Him with my physical eyes. I've never heard God speak to me in an audible voice with my physical ears. But I am convinced beyond anything I'm convinced of that He is real. And not only is He real, He lives inside of my heart. Amen? I know He's there. Amen? Why? Because He's the Spirit of God. He lives inside of me. I don't know what you're feeling right now. But I'm going to tell you, I feel Him moving and burning inside of me. And by the way, when you interact, the Word of God interacts with the Holy Spirit of God, it's like literally pouring gasoline on a fire. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, folks, that's what allows Him to work best. John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Isn't that interesting? Again, He's called the Spirit of truth. Which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Amen? The Spirit is truth. I'm going to tell you something about the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? He's not afraid of you, and He's not afraid of me. He ain't worried about hurting your feelings. Some people don't want to say things because they might hurt somebody's feelings. Okay? Not the Spirit of God. Let me tell you right now, Christian, you start doing wrong, you start slipping this area of morality, the Holy Spirit's going to whack you upside your head with a spiritual 2x4. What are you doing? What's wrong with you? You're a Christian. My body belongs to you. Your body belongs to me. It don't belong to you. You shouldn't be doing that. Let me tell you a sign that you're saved. Is when you're starting to sin, and you feel the Spirit of God working on you, you feel that conviction come over you, boy, oh boy, that is a number one uno sign that you're a child of God. Amen? Let me tell you what I worry about. I worry about Christians that can sin and sin and sin and never feel bad about it. That's a dangerous place to be. Because I don't know about you folks, man, when you're sensitive to the Spirit of God, it don't take much to set Him off. Oh man, you know, listen to me folks. He ain't going to wait till you're getting ready to plunge off the cliff to warn you. As soon as you turn yourself in the direction of the cliff that still might be 100 miles away, He's going to start flashing a warning light and say, wait a minute, wrong way, wrong direction. But as a Christian, we need to be sensitive to what He's trying to say for us. Amen? That's why it's so important as a Christian to have the right relationship with the Spirit of God. Because part of His job is to help us with the areas of temptation. Amen? The areas of temptation. Very interesting, that word comforter. When we think of that word, we think of someone that, you know, comforts through grief and things of that sort. But you know really what that word means? If you look that word up in the Greek, and I'm not some Greek scholar, I don't try to use Greek words to impress anybody. But it's interesting, if you look that word up, it means paraclete. You know what that word means, paraclete means? It means to come along beside. And let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you why the Holy Spirit of God is your comforter. Yes, it's to help you in times of heartache and sorrow. But it's also to come along beside you and give you a little nudge, give you a little whack when you're not doing right. He's a paraclete. He's the one that comes along beside. Amen? Let me tell you, folks, when this wave of attack comes from the devil, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to come. Oh, yeah. If you haven't faced it yet, I promise you, you don't have to live very long to begin to face it. I'm not surprised, because the devil's sick and twisted. But even at a young age, how the devil starts working on young people in this area of their life. And that's why, sad to say, in your average public high school, the majority of young people no longer have their purity. No longer. And you know what? It's become so accepted, it's not even that big of a deal anymore. Let me tell you, in God's eyes, for God's children, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And we need, as Christians, to get our mind back to biblical truth on this thing of morality. Morality. You can choose in your life to either be a Joseph, like we talked about this morning in Sunday school. I taught our young people about Joseph. I've been reading about Joseph in my Bible reading, and man, what a powerful example he is. You can either choose to be like Joseph, or you can choose to be like Samson. By the way, how did it end for those guys? How did it end for Joseph? Well, let me just show you how it ended for Joseph. Alright? Take your Bibles real quick. Go to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis, I just read it this last week. And how did it end for brother Joseph? I mean, here was a guy who, you know what, could have had Potiphar's wife, could have had other temptations, no doubt about it. Okay? But notice what it says here, Genesis chapter 50, verse 22. Okay? And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Well, already, we got a difference. Because if you study Samson's life, he lived to be around 40. So Joseph almost tripled the lifespan there. Okay? And Joseph, look at verse 23. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. You know what that means? He saw four generations. Four generations. Okay? So, if I'm doing my greats right, great, 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 right? Okay? Alright? He saw four generations. Okay? And Joseph said to his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which He sware to Abraham, to Isaac, to Joseph. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from thence. Joseph's life ended with God. Prosperous. God blessed him. He saw his family. His life obviously wasn't problem-free. But what a life Joseph lived. On the other hand, compared to Samson. Really? Really? How did his life end? Well, let's go there real quick. Judges. The book of Judges. And I believe it's Judges 17. Let's go there. Judges. You know, I just want to show you this real quick. This wasn't in my notes, but the Holy Spirit wanted me to take you there. All right? Judges. Or back it up a little bit. 16. Okay, here's Samson. Okay? Let's read verse 30. And Samson said, by the way, where's he at? Is he with all his great, 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 great grandchildren? Has he got his family gathered around? No. Eyes gouged out, prisoner, grinding in the mill, hands on the pillars. And Samson said, not, God be with me. Get my bones out of here. No, let me die with the Philistines. Really. Surrounded by the enemies of God. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew in his death were more than they which slew in his life. Now that sounds like a great statement until you realize God's plan for Samson. God's plan for Samson was to decimate the whole Philistine army. To wipe them out. He only accomplished a fraction of what God had planned for his life. And to me, this is one of the saddest verses about Samson. Look at verse 31. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up. Now think about that for a minute. How did Samson die? He died literally in a huge structure collapsing on top of him. You think that was a pleasant experience digging him out of that rubble? Here's his family. Had to move rocks. Had to move pillars. Finding a busted, broken, bloody, grotesque body of a great, used to be man of God. You know why? Because he couldn't get his morals right. You don't think this is a big deal? It's a big deal. And Christian, I'm going to tell you, the reason God listed it first is because that's the number one area in your life the devil's coming after. You will never be a warrior for God if you can't figure out this idea of morality. Quit playing with it. Quit messing around with it. Quit looking at stuff on your phone you shouldn't be looking at, men. Ladies, by the way, I used to be, it was the guys have to worry about this, not in this sick world we're living in. There's just as much female perverts as there are male perverts out there. By the way, parents, you are a wise parent if you limit the use of this with your kids. You let your kids have unbridled access to this, I'm going to say this as nice as I can, you're a moron. Kids can't handle this. By the way, most adults can't handle this. You better have some kind of accountability built in. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you, folks, that this idea of morality, the devil's so slick in this area, he's so deceptive in this area, and he's coming after you and he's coming after me. And the only way you're going to stand on this, if you have your loins girt about with truth. Amen? With truth. God help us be the warriors God wants for us to be. Amen? God help us. Don't you want to be a victor in a battle, not a casualty? Now listen, I'm good if I die in the battle. I'm good with that. Okay? If I get taken out fighting, let me die with my spiritual sword in my hand. There's glory in that. But if I get taken out because I, on purpose, open myself up for a satanic attack, what a fool I would be. And by the way, for you as well. Amen? And so, you know what? We got to put this armor on as Christians so that we can stand and we can be what God would have for us to be.